say.
Okay, now we're recording, so now you can be poignant.
That's pretty good. Okay, so we're going to start this off with...
With a joke.
What a joke. Yes, that's pretty good. Man, there is something heavy on my heart.
Really?
Yeah, if you could, if you...
I'll hold onto my mic with both hands.
No, it's really something that I've really thought about this week. And,
you did?
You know, my mind is...
How much wood could a woodchuck chuck?
Matthew's. Chapter 7 and also chapter 16 were...
That's just post... come on, brain. Beatitudes. Teaching on the Mount.
And Jesus said to them, he that followed me must first deny himself, take up his cross and follow me.
Yeah.
Even before then, he talked about, chapter 7, he talked about being concerned about the mote in your brother eye.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And not recognize the beam in your own eye. And that concept, you know, I know that's nine chapters in between those two. But it's just that concept of it is so hard to deny ourselves. You know. So self-preservation.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I don't care who you are, it is so hard to turn that self-preservation off.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Even at your finest moment, even trying to help someone,
right,
even trying to do right, it always popped up. It always comes on. It always, it's like the self is so scared to be denied.
Uh-huh.
And it's so hard. Even this week has been so hard for me to stay focused on being a better version of myself. Mm-hmm. We talked about not just being more like Jesus, but being a better version of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Being a better version of yourself is hard because you're so used to being that old person. You're used to being that whatever version of you before. And trying to improve yourself, it's scary.
A lot of people talk about change,
but
they don't really believe in change.
Mm.
Because change is painful.
It is.
Change is painful.
It is.
And that's what people don't... Like, I used to always get a kick out of how these companies said, we're going to be disruptive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
Because disruption is painful.
Right.
Right. If you shake something, it's not going to be happy that it got shook.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You got all this bureaucracy and all this stuff going on. You can't even get around this bureaucracy, and yet you're going to go around bragging that you're going to be disruptive.
Right.
You can't be disruptive.
Right.
You can't be making change except you take on risk. There's no change without risk.
Correct.
Right. There's no change without pain. There's no change without risk. So.
Yes.
You know, you've heard this. I've heard it before many times. Don't lose your train of thought, Chris. The only way to be better or to get better is to get out of your comfort zone.
Mm.
You got to get out of your comfort zone. And people don't like getting out of their comfort zone. I mean, we're sitting in my living room right now. We're comfortable. It's cool in here.
Right.
You know, but... You know, if you want to lose a couple pounds, you got to go outside and walk.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's raining or whatever.
Yes.
Like, you got to do it no matter what if that's what you want to get done.
Yes.
And it's great to, you know, write on a piece of paper, I'm going to lose 20 pounds or whatever.
Yes.
But until you get out there and start walking in the rain.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard this also. This is something else that kind of goes along with this is that you know, people don't, they don't want any, they want to always get out of their problem. Mm-hmm. Let me get out of my problem. I got to get out of my problem. And the reality is that they need to be in that problem and be able to figure out how to overcome it.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Instead of running away from every problem that people have. Oh, I know what it was. It was one of these things where these guys were talking about women and how they were looking for men or whatever, and they couldn't find the right guy or whatever, and they would leave their husbands because they just got bored with them or whatever. That all, a lot of these divorces and all these breakups are done by women, and the reason, and the major reason why is because they just get bored with the man that they're with, right?
Right.
Oh, this is, or they can't overcome some, you know, this difference between them, right? It's not like, you know, they're getting beat or something like that. It's just like, oh, I just, this guy doesn't, you know, he leaves his shoes on the floor or whatever,
right,
you know.
Right.
I just can't handle it no more.
Right, right.
It's like they can't change. They can't confront problems. They think that, there should be a life with no problems.
Right.
This utopia where there's no problems
right.
in life.
Right. And again, I was talking to someone, a professional, and she made the statement. She said, OC, that's what she called, OC. The reason why you're feeling that way is because change is happening. Even though you know it's good change, it's going to make you a better person because you're out of, like you just said, you're out of your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're out of your comfort zone, this pain, there's going to come pain because it wasn't, when you're in your comfort zone, it's easy.
Yeah.
There's no hurt. There's no, it's just, you know, you're getting fat. And she made this statement to me, and it was hard. She said, you're the problem, not everything around you.
Right.
You're
yeah.
the problem.
We always look for some exterior reason why things are what they are, but most of the time it's our inability to conform or change to the situation.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
Right.
And that's what she was saying, you know, that it was funny because it's so easy to find fault with someone else. It's so easy to go, well, They didn't do this.
Exactly.
They didn't do this. And this is why mm-hmm. if you'd have did this, then I would have done this.
Right.
What's stopping you from doing that?
Yeah.
Them doing this or not, what's stopping? You're the only one that's stopping you from doing what you need to do.
I was telling you about how that, you know, I've always had this fascination. I don't want to say fascination, but this kind of like, this anger management thing, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of things that like trigger me that get me a little fired up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was praying about it, and I told you about this before. Mm-hmm. I was praying about it, and really what kind of came to me was you need to be able to sit down, and this is like these YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to sit down, look at a YouTube video, look at the person that's making you mad, and have compassion on them.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And be thinking, hey, how can I help this person? They don't understand. Maybe there's a reason they're behaving this
Correct.
Way. What is it? So instead of reacting to it and like, you're a dummy, you're an idiot, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm sick and tired of hearing you and, you know, having mean thoughts.
Right.
Right?
Right.
This, and because that's what they said, and Paul said, you know, not only do you like give up all these other things, you need to put away malice and anger and all these different things and strife, because our body just like resists anything that goes against us.
Yes.
That fight or flight situation, right?
Yes.
And so the thing to do is you got to put yourself in the fight.
Mm-hmm.
You have to put yourself in the fight and train
That's
yourself.
You're gonna get better.
Correct. And train yourself to deal with the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's like learn how to control your anger or whatever, learn how to control your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So that your mind isn't controlling you. It's not just like, you know, this back part of your brain that just says, do this, you know, be afraid, run, fight, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
No, I control this thing.
Yes.
I control this
yes.
body.
Yes. And that's
not easy.
That's that I'm telling you, I think it was yesterday. This was going through my mind, what we're talking about. And I literally said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I need you.
Right.
Lord, I need
you. Yeah, exactly.
Because you, this is not easy.
Yeah.
Having myself every day trying to restrain myself, trying to keep myself in this order, this better order. And I see me getting better, but I also see the resistance. I see the, do we have to do that? Like, this is hard. Mm-hmm. Every day this week has been hard, getting up and trying to improve on what was yesterday.
Wow.
And it was like, no, you can't, no, don't. And yesterday, it was to a point, and, you know, we're in a podcast, but I hate to say, but I was crying. Mm-hmm. I was at this, and good thing I was there by my, I started, like, crying. I mean, there was, like, an agony.
Yeah.
There was an agony, like, this is hard. Mm-hmm. This is hard. Why is this so hard?
You must have been praying.
I was praying.
Yeah, that's because when you pray, that's when things, like, start happening.
And literally, it was funny because, and I'm not making this up. I was at someone's house, and they wanted me to trim their grapevines, and the trim, and immediately went to my mind is the pressing of the grapes, the crushing, and immediately I went to Jesus, how he felt that crushing at that vineyard. That he was there, Gethsemane. And immediately, that's what came to my mind. I'm being crushed. That self, that part of me that I don't want to be like anymore. That part of me that is like, have these attitude, have this negativeness, this junk that I'm trying. I've asked God to help me. Well, guess what he's doing? He's crushing it.
That's right.
He's crushing me.
Right. You're getting what you asked for.
I'm getting exactly what I'm asked for, and it's being crushed.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's been intensified. And it's hard. And, man, I'm literally in a ball. I mean, I'm crying and like, Lord, why? Help me. This is hard.
Yeah.
Why is this so hard? Because there's a self-preservation going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's something. Don't want to let go.
Right. Yeah. I stand amazed that Jesus like told people, hey, don't worry about what you're going to wear or where you're going to sleep or whatever. I'm like, really?
Yes. Yes.
You know, yeah, when we're younger, we listen to that stuff and we're like, praise God.
Praise God. God,
you know, but
God.
Now it's like, no, you're out here and you're like, I'm really supposed to do that?
Oh, bro.
Right?
Bro.
Why are you worried about your clothing? Why are you worried about this?
And this is, that's funny you say that because when I was a younger preacher, when I preached it, I believe it.
Oh, yeah. We used to just jump and shout.
and really, it's not like my needs are not being met. But a lot of the questions now to me, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? These are people who know my situation. Uh-huh. Like, what are you going to do? And I keep saying, I don't know. I don't know. I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer.
Well, the best answer is I'm totally not going to listen to you keep asking me, what am I going to do? Whatever voice that is that keeps popping up.
Right.
I'm tired of listening. Go away.
And it's like, and these are people that, you know, I admire. You know, these are people who have stuff in the world.
Yeah.
And that's the deal. These are people who have stuff in the world.
Right.
And even yesterday, I said, Lord, I really am trying to get to heaven. That is the goal. That is where I really, I mean, yes, I have a wife. Yes, I have people looking at me and I got to be a certain way in the world. I want to be an example. I don't want to be homeless sitting under the box, you know, on a bridge somewhere. That's not what I'm saying, but the things of the world doesn't satisfy me anymore. Today we was talking about a database, and you said it's just a list. And to me, you know, having a car is just a car. Mm-hmm. I don't need a Cadillac, because they're both performing the same. They're getting me from A to B.
Mm-hmm.
So many times I got to a place where I need a Cadillac. I need a Cadillac so everybody can see me and show that, you know, I'm with God because I got a Cadillac. Mm-hmm. Instead of I got a hooped vehicle, which is a nice hooped vehicle in my
gets pool, the job done.
I get the job done. Matter of fact, I love my truck. It's not the best looking truck. It's not the newest truck, but it performs. And I think I'm in a place in my life where I don't need the bells and whistles anymore. I don't need the whole fancy, look at the suit, look at that preacher he's got. I just want to be better in God. And I don't and I don't know if the picture that I'm looking at is the picture that God's looking at.
Now, listen to this. I like the way you just went with that, because this is what I was thinking the whole time you were talking. I was thinking about vision, having a vision, having the proper vision, right? So I said to you, I said, I was watching that Age of Ultron, that superhero movie, right, with the robot or whatever.
Yes.
And in that movie, the girl messes with Tony Stark's mind, right? And he has a vision, right? And his vision is how that all these people died, but he was the last man standing, right? And his thoughts was, I could have done better. I could have done more, right? If I'd have just done more, I could have saved. And that was kind of like his Achilles heel, because he would do things that would just make things worse.
Right.
Right. But it was driven by that vision. Right. And then it kind of even goes to the name of the character that comes from his, you know, his experiments.
Right.
That comes, the person's name is called the Vision. Right.
Right.
And even the robot called him his vision, because that was the robot's idea of what he wanted to become.
Correct.
Right. And so there was this whole underlying message in the movie about having a vision, right? And that vision motivating you to do or be whatever it was to get that vision to be realized.
Right.
Right. And so, you know, the longer we go ahead, this even reminds me of that scripture where he says, the young man shall see visions, the old man shall dream dreams.
Right.
And we know that other scripture, without a vision, the people perish, right?
Correct.
Is that, you know, that for us to get closer to, the closer we get to God, I mean, even think about Daniel, the closer, Isaiah, Ezekiel, anybody, the closer you get to God, you start seeing things.
Wow.
Right? And I'm even feeling chills just thinking about this. The closer you get to God, the more you start driving yourself towards God, you start seeing things.
Wow.
Right? Your vision opens up, and then you, like Isaiah says, I'm a you know, Peter before
Abraham,
Jesus, I'm a sinful man.
Abraham, he walked with God.
Yeah.
And God said, "Shall I keep this thing from Abraham?"
My friend. Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly. The closer they got to God, the more they saw, the more was revealed to them.
Wow.
Right. And so if you are on this mission to get closer to God,
right,
God's going to show you things
right
that are going to require you to perform
wow
more than you're used to performing.
Right.
because before you didn't see any of this.
Right.
You know, I mean, and I say this humbly because, you know, I'm sitting in my living room. I got a screen here, you know, my TV screen. I watch my YouTube or whatever.
Right.
You know, and I'm thinking to myself, what are you doing for God? Right. I mean, what benefit are you giving God? I mean, there's people out there who, you know, they know stuff about whatever they're into, right? They're the masters of it, right? And you know, look at ourselves, and it's like, what have you given? What value do you bring to the table?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you just a sounding box, you know, or whatever?
But that's the part where that other portion of your cross. What is your cross, though?
That's a good one.
What is your cross?
You may not see your cross until you start pressing in. You got to press in to see that cross.
And what does your cross look like?
Yeah.
What is your denying yourself and taking up your cross?
Oh, wow.
Denying yourself and taking up your cross. Those are two things.
They go hand in hand. Right.
Because you got to deny what you think it should be and what you think it is and what you think how it should be. And then you got to crucify that dude. You got to crucify him. And that's so hard. So many people, I mean, Christians, we think that we can follow Jesus. That's easy to follow Jesus if your needs are being met,
right? Well,
blessings are being happening and everything is flowing, but what about those first two?
Listen to chapter 8. You were talking about Matthew. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest.
Wow.
And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another disciple said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury the dead.
Right.
Right. That abandonment of comfort, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what he's saying. Yes. I don't have a place. I don't have a home.
Right.
Right. I don't know where my next meal is coming from.
Oh, that's hurt. Right? That hurt.
Now, I'm not saying this to be. I'm just reading.
Oh, that hurts. That hurts.
I'm just reading.
Because what you just said is it goes back to the situations that I was in last week about the different things, that discomfort. You know God's going to take care of it. God's going to take care of it. He always take care of us. There's no reason to doubt it. But when you go into it, and there has to be a denying, a crucifying of your thoughts and the way you think it should happen and the way that you think it should. Well, I go, Lord, but can you meet this need first?
Right.
Can you take care? But you just said it. Okay.
What was that verse where he said, this life, you know, you'll have tribulations.
Yes. With tribulation. You have houses, wives, cars, and all that, but with tribulations.
But Americans don't want anything to do with that tribulation part.
Christians, and I guess that's funny because that's another scripture. Like, we always want these things.
Right. We want to see great things from God.
All these things. We want all this stuff.
Yeah.
But with all this stuff comes tribulation.
Right.
Comes crucifying. Comes accusations that are false. And people finding fault with you, and people saying, "Oh, you're in for the money," or "Why has he got to do it this way?" And I could have done a better job than he could have done, and
This is going to sound simple, but it goes like way back when I was in the servant's home, and I had got this car, and it was a nice little car, you know. And the pastor said, some of you are like, well, I wish I had that car, you know, because he was talking about me. I just got the car, whatever. He said, but do you want the car payment? Do you want the insurance, you know? Do you want this? Do you want that? It's like, you know, a lot of people go around, I want to be married.
Right.
Yeah, but do you want the arguments? Do you want the disagreements? Right. Do you want the the struggle of two minds in one house? Do you want, you know? Do you want to, like, take a cold shower because there's no more hot water? Do you want, you know, on and on? Do you want your bills to go up, you know, or all these different things?
So if you want to get closer to the Lord, do you want to pay what it takes to get closer?
Yeah, exactly.
To God.
Right. It goes just like the rich man, the rich young ruler.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm good to go.
I'm good to go.
Right. Yeah. I don't think he came there that dude came to Jesus like people go to Dr. Laura Schlesinger to ask for advice. They think that they're right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just calling in for her to confirm that they're right.
Confirmed.
Right. And then she just destroys them, you know, obliterates them. And it's the same way with Jesus. Like, you come here, you think you got everything straightened out. You're not really looking for advice.
Wow.
He said, but, I mean, if you're ready to go to the next level, this is what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. I think that there's that nugget that's in that scripture is amazing. It's really something that anchors that whole story, and it is the fact that it explicitly said Jesus had compassion on him. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like Jesus was trying to throw him under the bus.
No.
It wasn't like he showed up, Jesus was like, yeah, this dude's messed up, I'll just destroy him with one shot.
Not at all.
It was more like, he says, you're missing something. This is what you want.
You're missing something.
It's going to cost you.
Right.
Right?
It's going
to
cost you.
And I don't think you're ready to pay.
No. No.
You know, and I don't know if that guy ever, you know, came back later on or whatever, but, you know, he thought he was ready for the next level, and he was not.
Hello.
Well, I'm, you and me both, bro.
I'm literally, like, yesterday, I'm telling you, I was like, Lord, I thought I was ready for this. I really thought I was ready to, like, I want to be your man. I want to be your right-hand man, Lord.
Right.
I want to be one that you can call on.
Uh-huh.
And blah, blah, blah. I'm here right now. I'm here in this place, Lord, that you got me here. I'm doing everything, and I'm helping this man, and I'm giving, Lord, and I'm and God said, and the Lord said, No, you haven't given everything.
It's better to be, when you're before the Lord, it's better to like be at a loss. Kind of like when Ezekiel is before the Lord and God's showed him that valley of bones. Mm-hmm. And God's like, can these bones rise? And Ezekiel was just broken.
Right.
Ezekiel was like, Lord, you know.
Right.
I'm done knowing. I'm done having the answers. I don't
that
have
is
any
so
answers.
So good.
It's like, Lord, Lord, Jesus, you know whether or not these bones
are.
That
is so. I'm too much like Peter.
Yeah.
I need to be more like Ezekiel. That is so good.
He's broken. He was just broken. He was just, you know, when Isaiah stood before the Lord.
I know this podcast,
he was like,
I'm the dead man. Oh, you just literally just answered something.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that was so good, because literally, I'm even there in that 16th chapter, Peter is saying to Jesus. He said, well, this ain't so. You're not going to die. You know, and he was motivated by Satan, but even Jesus rebuked him and said, oh, no, you don't understand, Peter. This is why I came.
Mm-hmm.
And man, and that's why so many times I have that Peter attitude, like, well, Lord, I'm ready.
Yeah.
Let's go do this.
We're ready to put up a fight. We're ready to put up a fight to avoid
Yes.
Persecution. But what about when God's like, just let and I'm saying out. This, I'm saying, I want to say this carefully, okay? Because it's not like I'm like inviting this stuff into my life. But when, you know, when you're like, I'm ready to do whatever you want me to do, Lord, and God's like, are you really? You know, like the disciples said, Jesus said to him, can you drink the cup that I'm drinking from? Can you be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, sure we can, you know. He said, yeah, you will be.
Right.
You're not ready for it now.
You're not ready for it right
But you now. Will be. You know, you will suffer. Wow. You will be persecuted. Right. You will, you know, John was like, what was it, boiled with oil and then set on the Isle of Patmos? Do you imagine? Like, after an event like that, most people are like, can't I just die now?
Please just
let me die now.
Please let me die, Lord.
Yeah. He must have lived in chronic pain for the rest of his life after that. But his spirit was, I'm serving God, and God, and that's where he wrote, and you know, the epistle of Revelation.
Revelation, yeah. Wow. This is deep.
Oh, but I'm not even, I'm just talking.
This is deep, bro.
I'm not sitting here trying to pretend that this I'm doing so any deep, of this
bro.
Stuff.
This is so deep. And everything you're saying, that's where... Don't get me wrong, because I made the statement this morning. Mm-hmm. I'm very blessed and content to be in this situation I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
But in this situation, there's so many things that are going on with me, my personal, not even to do with the church or my wife or my family. I mean, me, my personal relationship with the Lord, there's so many things that are going on. Like, Lord, I want to... Okay, you said it. Okay, done. I don't worry about what anybody else said. This is, and to get to that place is so difficult because there's so many different voices from the outside. That say, well, what are you doing? Why are you doing it that way? Why is it this way? Well, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna
do? Right, we want to control the situation.
Yes,
we want to have our hand on the steering wheel.
Right,
that's really hard, especially when. Your personality is the personality of a driver.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of people whose personality is, I'll sit in the back seat all day long. Yes. Right?
Yes. Yes.
And then there's other personalities where it's like, you know, I don't want anybody else driving because I don't trust them.
Mm.
Right? I'm not saying about trusting God, but I'm just saying, like, you don't let other people run things.
Right.
Because it's like, nah, I'll keep my hand on the steering wheel. Right? Wow. I'm gonna keep my hand on the steering wheel. You're not getting involved in this.
Man, where's she at? I'm using she says this. We need a prayer meeting. Cause right there, this is how I feel. Like, and this morning he said to me, he said, you need to slow down. You need to slow down. Let somebody else do this. And this has been this week, and it's been hard for me to do. Let somebody else do it. Let somebody else do it.
Yeah.
Is it that important? They'll take care of it.
Right, yeah.
Why do you have to get involved?
Right.
Why are you driving there? Why? Let them do it. They need to learn how to do it.
Right.
They need to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that, for me, that, you know, because sometimes we think, well, I'm denying myself. I'm denying myself, and I'm going to help them. And I'm giving myself to them, and it's really I've learned that it's not that I'm denying myself. It's that while I'm helping someone else, I'm not taking care of my own self, the situation that is going on in me, and the stuff that I need to take care of, and the things that I need to do.
Right.
It's been so easy this week. One day this week, I literally did not go anywhere. I stayed home. I did the clothes. I cut grass.
Right.
I tried to do something. That was so hard.
Right.
That was so difficult.
This morning, without mentioning names, the one sister came out. And she zipped past me, and she zipped back past mm-hmm. me, and zipped mm-hmm. back past me. Mm-hmm. And as she was going back to her car for the last time, I mm-hmm. looked at her and said, "Don't you stand still? Oh. Don't you ever stand still?"
Oh, bro. Oh, bro.
And yesterday,
bro.
Yesterday I told you I was doing the cooking, right? Mm-hmm. One of the best days I've had in mm-hmm. a long time. Mm-hmm. All I did, I got the coals started, you know, and I cooked some food on the grill. Mm-hmm. And I sat in that little chair out mm-hmm. in the sun reading mm-hmm. my book. Mm-hmm. In the shade, actually. Mm-hmm. I just sat out there reading my book. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, I'd lift the lid. Oh, okay, I got to go get some cheese now mm-hmm. or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I got to turn them over or mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. But literally just sat out there reading my book.
Right.
No care in the world.
Right.
Like, I was like, man, this is the life of Riley right here.
Right.
I'd like to do this all the time. Just sit here and just relax. And because... we were talking about this recently also. You get up, you don't pray. I'm not saying you.
No, the balance.
We get up, we don't read our Bible. And then we go rushing to go do something that we think has got to get done, right? Because, like, I work on my little projects on the computer and everything. Run.
Yes.
Do, and get nothing done.
Yes.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Like a hamster in a wheel, man. Nothing. And then other days you get up, you say, "Well, let me just spend 15 minutes. Let me just spend 15 minutes praying. Let me just pray for 15 minutes. Sit in this chair, look to the Lord and pray." And then the whole day is like productive. The whole day is like a good day.
So productive.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this week has been so trying. Not that. When I say trying, I'm not talking about there was like, "Oh, I got to make this." Just trying to slow down.
Yeah.
Trying to focus on my own junk. Trying to not worry about that little splinter in that person's eye and that little deal. And, oh, they got to, you know, like.
Yeah.
Bro, there's something. You got to handle your. What about your junk?
What about what about your own personal maintenance?
Own personal junk that you got going on. It's so easy. Like, what have you? Take your junk and burn it up. Why are you worried about burning their junk up? And they, I'm trying to help them get closer to God. I'm trying to help them.
Yeah.
I'm trying to help them bear their cross. They're struggling with their cross. Let me go give them a hand and help them on the way. What about your own cross? What about your own cross? I mean, literally this week, like, Chris, what about your... This person said to me, and you know who I'm talking.
Okay.
I see this.
Go ahead.
Talk to this. And she said, "Take care of your own junk, OC."
Okay.
I was like, that's the problem. You go help them, and you're helping them,
right?
And in the midst, it goes wrong, and they go all frustrated. They're getting all frustrated, and then you get frustrated because you're there trying to help them.
Yeah,
they don't see you helping them. All they see is the frustration. Now you're frustrated. You know why you're frustrated? Because you're there,
right?
And you're not getting appreciated for being there.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you should have said, "Hey, what can I do? Can I help? If I can't help, then I'm sorry."
Yeah. The Seven Habits, we went back to that book a while back, remember? Mm. And the book begins, by, you know, if you plan on anything you plan on doing, it all has to start with you. You have to get your act straight, right? Before you can help anybody. You have to be independent.
Yes.
You have to be capable of taking care of yourself. Yes. You have to be capable of caring for yourself.
Not even physical, mentally and spiritually too.
Yeah, everything. Yeah, in all aspects.
So when you say, I'm just saying, sometimes we think, oh, I got to have money or I got to have a position. And when you say that independent, being able to help, that's what comes to mind. Like, I got $1 million or I got a car or I can help. But we forget that spiritual and physical, just being in the right mind, the right mindset to go help somebody. Sometimes we think we're in the right mindset to go help somebody because we're willing to help. And we get there and we lose it because they're losing it and we're not like.
The Bible says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And I really believe that the underlying current of that statement is that the reason it's more blessed to give than it is to receive is because you have the power to give.
Yes.
And people who have the power to give means that their life is already settled.
Yes.
Their life is already settled to the place where they have an abundance that they can give to other people. You can't give to other people if you don't have something yourself. Right? And if you give, you know, your last morsel away, right, and then you sit in a chair and you wonder why you're hungry, it's like that morsel was for you.
Right.
God may have gave you that morsel for you.
Right.
And you went and gave it to somebody else because you didn't have the power to give.
Correct.
You know?
And again, I'm keep going back to your own cross. Sometimes we take on people's crosses, bro.
Sometimes
we get involved trying to carry other people's crosses when they need to carry their cross.
Yeah, the only person who needs to carry a cross is Simon of Cyrene. That's the only dude that needs to carry a cross, right? And he was forced to do it. Yeah, the word compelled means they grabbed that dude by the arm and said,
him do it.
Carry this cross.
And that's so...
Could you imagine being that guy in the crowd? He thought he was there for a show. The next thing you know, he's sitting there carrying that cross.
Wow.
Oh, you think... You know, like that whole thing where he's like, oh, you think this is funny? Let me show you what funny is. Yeah.
Again... Wow, you preach it to me.
I'm
going to have an altar call after we done. I know what I'm be doing on the way home.
Oh.
I'm be praying because this is so good. Yeah. I'm telling you, this is what I went through this week. I'm showing up to these places where I'm showing up and I shouldn't be there. And then I'm compelled to help when I shouldn't even be like, well, why even go?
Right.
Why are you going?
Right. What was the motivation for Siren to be there watching that event?
Yes.
You know, I wonder, I wonder if God spoke to him and said, don't show up there today.
Don't go there. Why
don't go there today.
There?
You don't
why
need
you
to be
there.
I mean, this is all supposition.
No, I'm just, but, no, this is a message. You're preaching.
I'm just supposition, though.
Why were you...
Why didn't you didn't even need to be there?
Why?
If you weren't there, you wouldn't have get stuck with that cross.
Why did you go? Did God tell you to go there?
Right.
Or you just went to see what was going on. Like, I just want to see what's going to happen.
Right,
why
exactly.
Why did you care? Why did you care what's going to happen?
Uh-huh.
Last week, some things went on. And the Lord kept saying, don't go. Don't be there. Don't. And I'm so happy that I listened.
Praise God.
This is the first, and this is why it's coming back to me, because I was told this happened, and that happened, and that happened,
right?
And this happened, and even now the Lord is sharing through you, like, this is why I didn't want you to be there, because if you'd have been there, they'd have made you part of the problem.
Yeah.
And then when I was in the car with the man that this happened, he was like, yeah, OC, this happened and that happened and that happened. I went, that's why.
Bro, I'm telling you, you know, you're saying this, but I have literally, you know, did the opposite, you know, where God's like, don't get involved in this. And I'm like, oh, no, I'll go do this or whatever.
Yes.
And you know, looking back, I'm like, and that messed so many things up in my life.
Yes, bro.
I've suffered so much because of that dumb decision.
Bro, I would have suffered that week.
Yeah.
I would have suffered those 2 days. He allowed me to go to one day, and it was
not only
great.
That, suffering for no reason.
And I would have.
Yeah.
I would have suffered for no... In the point of trying to help this, because the one person, I love him. I love this man. I love this man. And if they'd have done that, if I'd have seen that, what they'd have done to that man, I would have got involved.
Right.
I would have got involved. I would have been compelled to get involved because I've been like, why are you disrespecting him? And right. that'd have been a big old event. Yeah. Again, because that's his cross he needs. I love him. I love him. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to help him. But that's his cross. And I told him, I said, I don't know what to tell you. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, and this man lived many years. And I told him, I said, what do you want me to tell you to do? You lived almost twice as long as I have. You know, you allow this. You let this. Oh, okay. And so that brings us back again to that was hard. That was hard to stay away from that.
Mm-hmm.
But I know why God made me stay away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And something else happened. And he said, the Lord told me, call him. Say this to him.
Mm.
And I said, okay. And I said, hey, you said you was going to do such and such. Yeah, well, I don't have time. Well, this ain't the right time. That's okay. So then something happened. And boom, boom, boom. And he said, well, I said, so did that happen? He said, man, it's just amazing how it just happened. I said, but you're not looking at. Okay. His family was supposed to leave. And they couldn't leave. The plane, they canceled their ticket. I mean, they canceled the whole.
Yeah.
They canceled the whole event.
Uh-huh.
They could not fly out.
Right.
And they had to stay another day.
Yep.
So it was just them one-on-one. It was one-on-one. And he was able to take out all this stuff and do the things that he wanted to do.
Right.
And I was like, I said, oh, thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. And bro, literally, I kid you not, what he told me, it caused him such a, I said, but okay, it cost him $200 or $300, but it was worth it.
Right.
Because you was able to, because he had told me this is what need to happen before I die. I said, you need to do that before you die. Cause I don't want to, cause I know it. I knew this secret.
Right.
And he had shared this secret. I said, Lord, I don't want to be burdened with that secret. The Lord took care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so neat how God does things if we just let people do their, let them carry their own cross instead of getting involved.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, and for me, is I get involved.
Yeah.
Instead of just, because what carrying my own cross isn't enough. You laughed.
Exactly.
That hurt to say that.
Oh, well, I'm going to
I'm glad you laughed I'm glad you laughed because that hurt to say that.
Yeah.
Carrying my own cross is not enough.
Well, you've heard that illustration about the pupil that turns into the moth and someone coming along and opening up the moth to allow the moth to easily get out.
Yes.
And by doing so, you've robbed that moth of the strengthening process of strengthening of his wings.
Yes.
I don't know if that's true, okay? But the illustration does hold weight to it.
Yes, it's true.
Right. I mean, the eagle has to kick its chicks out of the nest to force them to learn how to fly.
Yes.
To force them to learn how to spread their wings and fly and strengthen their wings, right?
Yes.
And the eagle is there to grab them, you know, so that they don't fall, plummet to their death.
Yes. So the Lord is making me carry this cross that I'm begging him to help me carry, and he's not helping me.
Really? Okay.
Because he's wanting me to get stronger.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And I'm telling you, like, I was in tears. I'm telling you. Yesterday, right. I was in. I'm like, Lord, this is hard.
Yeah.
This is hard.
Yeah.
And he's not helping me carry it, bro. He is not helping me carry it. It's I pleaded. I pleaded yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Take a breath.
Oh, man. Sorry.
It's okay.
But it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you got to carry this.
Yeah.
You got to carry this.
Yeah.
But it's also teaching me that I've been trying to carry everybody else's cross.
When you should have been more concerned about carrying your own cross. Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, I'll tell you kind of like a parallel story to that, right? So recently, I don't want to get into details, but recently somebody had said something across the pulpit. A preacher had said something across the pulpit, and I don't want to say it was directed, but it was like, the reason you don't have X is because of this, that, or the other. And at that moment,
I remember that.
And he says, he was like, the reason you don't have this because you're not faithful or whatever. And if you were right, you would have this, whatever. And I thought to myself, I was like, because as soon as that happened, I was like about to take my cross and just fling it across the room. I was about to just take my cross and just start hitting people over the head with it.
Oh, bro.
And I was like, don't do that.
I remember that.
Don't do that.
And I thought to myself, like, why are you doing that? Why are you saying that? Like, who's motivated you to say that?
Yeah.
Because, again...
God lets people fumble.
Oh, bro.
Purposely to push our button to see what we'll do.
Bro, I'm telling you.
God will have grace on them.
Bro, I begged him yesterday.
Yeah.
Lord, take this cross. I cannot bear this.
Wow.
This is crushing me.
Oh.
This is crushing me. But I'm like, ah, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I know I got to get through this. I don't know why I got to get through this, but I got to get through this.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the deal. We need to focus on our own cross.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I haven't had the energy to face this thing is because I'm
too busy with other people's crosses. Yeah.
Woo.
Exactly. Yeah.
Woo.
But, you know, there's people on the opposite side of that fence, too. There's people who aren't involved as much as they should be. So, I mean, it does go both ways.
Right, right. But I'm not talking about them.
Yeah, yeah,
again,
yeah.
I'm talking
about
me.
Exactly.
Let's bring it home now. I'm talking about the beam that's in my eye.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're saying the Lord uses other people to make that point. Like, hey.
Exactly.
Hey. Well, this is going on. This is going on in your life,
yeah.
and it is. It's going on in my own personal life, and this doesn't. What's going on has nothing even to do with my wife or my family. This is me. This is my own getting myself, restraining myself, putting myself, getting better.
Yeah,
getting better.
Mm-hmm.
This is only making me better, but it's so hard. It's hard.
Right, because you, I don't know the particulars, but, you know, if you're used to doing something, you really don't want to change. You don't want to, like, you know.
But I voiced to the Lord, I want to change.
Right, well, then he's like, you know, okay, you asked for this.
You asked for this.
Right.
And now.
It's almost like a good physical trainer.
Yes.
A physical trainer is going to push you.
Yes.
Right? Even when you want to quit, right? Yes. He's like, no, do two more reps, you know? No, do more reps, right?
Yes.
And they know that you have not... It's just like basic training.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you're going to finish this run. Oh, I can't make it. Oh, well, we'll find out if you can't make
it.
We'll work you so hard the next day that you'd be like, oh, I wish I finished that run.
Oh, man.
Right? I know you can make it. You're just quitting.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Growing pains, bro.
Yeah.
I remember growing up basketball. I hated lifting weights. There was two doors to the weight room. I would go in one, and I walk around while everybody else was, because the coach was outside waiting for us. He knew, he watched us go in. I would go in, I'll walk around. I was like, oh, yeah, let me help you. Let me help you do that. I'll spot people. And then I would look at the clock. Oh, 20 minutes. Then I walk back out the other room because I hated the groin pains that it took to lift those weights. Mm. When I would lift weights, it was 2 days later, 3 days later, I would hurt. I hated that feeling. Mm-hmm. I hated that feeling of that. I was watching, but these guys, the other guys, they were, everybody was more pumped than I was. And I just didn't, like the groin pains. Mm-hmm. I'm into groin pains.
I see.
This cross that I'm carrying is, there's pain. But I'm growing, but I don't, it's hurting. It's hurting to have this cross, and I can't put it down because I'm not going to get any better. I'm not going to get any better.
Right.
So the pain is, it's just growing pains. Right. But it hurts.
Wow.
It hurts. But I know it'll be better. And I can't go out the other door because guess what? Jesus is in the weight room with me. Yeah. I can't leave and say, oh, he would ask, he said, did you do your reps, Chris? I said, yeah, I done it, coach. You know I done it. I was in there 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And this, no, I can't do this with God. It's different. It's different.
This
cross this cross is hard.
Wow.
It's hard. And weeping
may endure for the night.
Oh, man. I wish it was just the night. I wish it was
right.
Just the night.
You ever been in that place where you're praying and you're like, is this the last night?
Right.
And can this be the last night? Man. When's the last night?
Oh, man.
That's hilarious.
I guess the vision of me that I thought was me. Mm-hmm. It's been shattered. This version of myself that I thought the Lord wanted.
Yeah.
It's been shattered. It felt like someone come and just turned everything up. Just like boom. Like, yep, this nope, don't want this. Oh no. That, nope. And he's just done shine this light upon me where all these little things that are just like, wow, I didn't know I thought like that.
Wow.
I didn't know man, that's my thinking. Like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord. But that was funny. No, that's not funny. It's not funny.
Wow.
That's not acceptable. Little thoughts. That's not acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Well, I was just joking. No, not really.
Mm-hmm.
That comes back from when you was a little kid.
Mm.
And it's hard, bro. I'm just saying this.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to make this podcast about me.
Being conformed to the image of Christ. To conform to the image of Christ, you know, what did Fred Sanford say?
This
woman.
Is a big one.
No. Yeah. What was the name of his sister-in-law?
Esther.
Yes. He says, Esther, I could take your face and push it in some dough and make some gorilla cookies.
Oh, that is so
is
funny.
That we have to cram ourselves into the image of Christ, and it's painful. He said, be conformed to the image of Christ. And we're not shaped like Christ, not spiritually. Physically, we have we're made in the image of God, but we are not spiritually in the image of God at all.
Bro.
And we're trying to cram ourselves into that image.
There's an image, bro, that God is trying to put me in that it's so hard to keep that myself on the cross. Paul, he said, I die daily.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mortify the deeds of the flesh. I put them to death.
Bro, every day I feel like
my body
under. Bro,
it's not. You know, bro, I'm not even gonna pretend.
Bro, it is. It has been. This weekend has been so difficult, man. It's been so difficult. Just my wife would say something. She was saying something. She'll say something like, "Blah blah," and all I take it as it, and it may not. It may be, and it may. All I've heard is like, why you ain't doing nothing? You ain't doing nothing. Mm-hmm. You ain't doing nothing. You ain't doing like, oh, like, what is she saying? What is she really saying? Because I know she's not really saying what I, and I've had to like step back. And I've had to like, hey, babe, what did you say again? Like, and it was, if I just stopped and paused and listened to her instead of trying to feel what she says, it comes better than when I allow that feeling, because God's trying to crush the old Chris, and it hurt. Instead of listening to what her say and try to, you know, I'm listening. Sometimes she says something and I'm listening through the pain that I'm feeling. Or not her.
Yeah.
Other people. I listen through the pain and it's like, they don't understand what I'm going through right now. And no one does. No one does understand what I'm going through. I'm going through something. And I know that I'm going through, and it's hard to like deal with people because they don't understand what I'm going through, and that pain, and that sometimes that pain, I want to go get an attitude, and then back to, oh, that's not the attitude I have.
Right. Well, I think we're going to wrap it up here real quick.
Why that quick?
Yeah. But I think another thing to consider is that, you know, in your case, you are bound to this other person, right? And this other person is they're growing spiritually, whatever. Correct. You know, they're growing spiritually, but they're not as mature as you are spiritually.
Correct.
They're not going to be facing the same things that you're facing. And not only that, you're basically taking somebody along a trip where, you know, you're driving at highway speeds and they're still in the parking lot learning how to turn the turn signal.
Correct.
Right. And they're like,
oh, good analogy.
And so they don't. And so they're like, you know, well, I don't have a job. And I really believe that, you know, I know in my heart of hearts that God doesn't want me to get involved in that. They can't understand that. Right. And so they're thinking the bills and the food on the table and a roof over their head, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, they're concerned, how is this going to be taken care of? And then they perceive that, you know, they perceive the enemy's definitely going to be involved in these conversations. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you just need to go get a job. You just need to go do this. You just need to go do that to take care of things, right? Mm-hmm. Now, see, like in my case, there's nobody here hounding me because, oh, how's this going to get done and how's that going to get done? Mm-hmm. You know, like that whole 9 months where I sat in this house, you know, waiting for some money or whatever that I didn't know if it was going to come in or not, right? Or that day that I was, like that day that I thought I was going to get evicted, right? I was like, this is the day I'm getting evicted. This is the day they're going to tell me to leave, right? Could you imagine someone else being in the room and knowing the same thing that you know, right? Or worse off, not knowing and finding out from, you know, by force that somebody else like involved or whatever. And, you know, they don't have the same peace that you have. They don't have the same, you know, like, they don't know that God's already backed you up on something, right? They don't know that, you know? Now, there is the case, if you're younger or whatever and you're involved and God's like, you know, you need to go get a job and you're just not doing what God wants you to
do.
That's a different story altogether.
Oh, no, okay? We're not talking.
But when you are dealing with, like you're talking about, getting into a more spiritual relationship with God and being more involved in spiritual things instead of worldly things, and you know, now you're at the place where God's like, hey, don't worry about clothes, don't worry about the, you know, mm-hmm. before you did, you know, you need to be on a job making money. Mm-hmm. Your problems are easily solved by you going and getting a job, right?
Yes.
And going to work. But,
absolutely.
But there's other situations, and those people that are way at the other end of the spectrum, they don't understand that.
No.
Right? And they're like, that, you know, they're worried for everything. They right. fear. And right. then you try to explain, well, you know, didn't the rent get paid, or aren't mm-hmm. we still, don't we still have a roof over our heads?
Right.
And did you not eat a good meal?
Correct.
And, you know, do you have good clothes?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all these other things that, you know, and it's almost unfair to kind of expect them
to
have the same faith, or to have the same, absolutely. You know, they just, it's not fair for them nope. to have to like kind of, but they are latched on, and they're, you know, and now all of a sudden your battle isn't you trusting God. Your battle is working with somebody
mm-hmm.
that, you know, and you got to go through things that God wants you to go through despite correct. Your situation
correct.
With being married or whatever.
Correct.
And, you know, and also, you know, dealing with, it's almost like, and don't, I'm not saying this about you,
no,
but it's almost like Job's wife,
mm-hmm.
right? Job's going through all this
mm-hmm.
stuff, right?
Right? Oh, yes.
And Job, at least at first, Job was like, I know God's got everything under control, you
right.
know? And she's like, why don't you just curse God and
right.
die?
Right.
Why don't you just give up on this stuff? This is stupid.
This is stupid.
Right?
Yeah, she was distraught.
Yeah.
She lost her kids.
Yep, she lost her kids. She lost her home.
Everything.
She lost income.
Who was she living with? Was she with the relatives or whatever?
Where
did she go?
Like, you don't hear about her.
Right. Like, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not saying, I'm definitely not saying that I'm going through anything like Job going through.
Of course, yeah.
But trying to communicate with somebody going through the pain of the cross.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Jesus was on the cross and he said, Lord, forgive them.
Right.
He was taking right. care of his mom
yep.
mm-hmm. on the cross.
Right. Uh-huh.
I mean, he was cool.
He was soul winning to some other guy on the He was soul winning this other guy on the cross.
On the cross,
yeah.
bro. That's what I'm
right.
saying. Like
he was giving hope to another man who was gonna, who knew he was gonna die.
Oh,
he was giving hope to somebody while
Lord,
he was on
bro,
the cross.
That blows my mind.
Right, you are the last dude. You know, man. I saw it on Facebook. The guy posted. He said Philippians is the most joyful letter in the Paul's writings, and he wrote it in prison.
Get facing death.
Yep.
Bro.
And he wrote the most joyful letter he had ever wrote.
Yes.
He said, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
I'm ready. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Being able to be merciful to other people while I'm going through
mm-hmm.
this crushing
that's part of it.
And
yeah.
changing and being
yep.
better for God.
Yeah, we could all, you were talking about that crushing, and we could totally go, because I remember the illustration I told you about the oil press.
Yes.
Right, the oil
yes.
press. We You yes. could totally get involved in that.
Oh, bro.
Three stages of pressing of the oil.
Oh.
Has he really exhausted the oil that's in us?
Bro.
There's still some oil in there.
Bro.
Anywho, whatever. We better let it go.
Yeah,
God bless
please.
You.
I got to go pray.
Yep. Me and both.